problems around flooding, and there's no help to actually alleviate that poverty and those problems.
People speaking in solidarity with the people of the Philippines hit by Typhoon Hagupit over the weekend. Some 900,000 people were forced.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, December 10th. Cassandra House will be at Barbecue in Patchogue, beginning at 7. Adrienne Belew will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore at 8. Sabrina Silver will be at Zeb's Manhattan, 8 p.m. Trombone Shorty will be at Terminal 5, Manhattan at 8. Your concert billboard for Thursday, December 11th. The Well Diggers will be at R.S. Jones in Merrick, 7 p.m. Suzy Roach and Lucy Wainwright Roach will be at the Church of St. Paul and St. Andrew, United Methodist, Manhattan, 7:30. Jack Morelli Trio featuring Gail Storm and Chanel Latimer will be at Treme in Islip, 8 p.m. The Last Hombres, The Well Diggers, The Buck Ups will be at Hank's Saloon in Brooklyn, beginning at 8. Steve Urban Band will be at The Space in Westbury, 9 p.m.
If you hear some musician on WUSB, you'll hear where they're playing locally on Concert Billboard, arenas, bars, coffee houses, or outdoor festivals. They're all here at WUSB.FM/CBB and 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, New York.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook, 4 minutes after 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And just right from the start, I just want to make it clear that I wasn't the one who cut Amy off like that. That's how the program came to us. Wow. She really ran out of time this week. But no, I would never do that. Okay, so torture. Everyone's talking about torture today. And yeah, why not? You know, it's Tuesday. It fits in just perfectly with the way my week's going. Not to trivialize, but wow, this is something huge. This even briefly is eclipsing the whole Ferguson and New York City and the whole nation and unrest story that's been going on last week. We'll get into that. But today, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence did something intelligent and released an exhaustive and explosive report. I love how these stories have to inject violent images even into releasing a report. But yeah, an explosive report on the CIA's interrogation practices. Some might even say a suicide bomb for the government. Yeah, I'm just trying to help out here. Republicans are saying that mostly. The Democrats seem to... the reason why it was released, think about it, December 2014, right before the Republican-led Senate gets the keys, this is the last chance to do this. This is the last chance for this level of transparency. Very few Republicans are in favor of talking about this at all. They'd rather sweep it under the rug and say, well, you know what? What happened happened, and we're just going to move on, not point any flashlights at it because, whatever. Unfortunately, that didn't happen for them. No. The 5-year study by this particular committee was conducted after reviewing more than 6 million pages of internal CIA records, and they found that the interrogation techniques used on more than 100 detainees were not effective, and the management of the program was inadequate and deeply flawed. And the techniques used in the program were far more brutal than was relayed to lawmakers and the public. None of this surprises me. It shouldn't surprise you. But what is surprising is that it's actually out there now. And we can try and digest this because it's an ugly part of our history that we need to confront. And if there's anything positive that comes out of all this, it's the fact that we're able to do that. And look very carefully at those people that tell you not to, that tell you to simply forget about it. And it's okay to act like a complete savage barbarian if you believe you're right and the other people are really wrong. But it's not okay when they do it because, well, they're wrong and God's on our side. And before you know it, everybody is sounding exactly the same. They're just changing the proper nouns, and the script is pretty much running the way that... that has been written for zealots and crazy people everywhere. So today is a good day for the U.S. as far as doing that. I'm sure people will find criticism that it didn't go far enough, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of things we can criticize, but let's at least for a moment, brief, tiny moment, say that we did something good. We did the right thing today by releasing this to the world. And yeah, we can be afraid. We can be afraid that someone's going to take action against us because of this. But what kind of action do you think they would take if you just didn't release it and everybody knew it was there? Then you're kind of leaving it up to the imagination as to what was in there instead of simply confronting it head on and dealing with it. This is supposedly what we stand for. This is what we're fighting for, or what some people are fighting for, and it would be completely hypocritical not to actually look at this. And it's a feather in Obama's cap. Yes, he does have a few of those, and this is a feather there that should be acknowledged. He fulfilled this promise of being transparent on this. Now, the thing that upsets me greatly, and I don't necessarily blame him for this, I blame the political atmosphere for this, because you see the reaction he gets for, I don't know, if he crosses the street against a red light, he's all of a sudden, you know, the devil incarnate. Or no matter what he does, he's upsetting people, which I think is probably good because he's upsetting the right people, but he's not getting credit for the things that he actually gets accomplished despite all of that. So if he were to move forward and do what I think should be done, namely prosecute these people, the people behind this, the people in the upper echelons of the Bush administration. If he did that, can you imagine the backlash he would face? And those of us allegedly on his side would simply find something else to criticize and would not have his back. So, yeah. He's taking a calculated risk here by even getting this out in the first place. To do more than that, I think, would be too risky even for him. Anyway, there's something like 6,000 pages out there. I haven't had time to really go through it before the show. And I don't know how much of it I can stomach. But you'll hear all kinds of things in the news, I'm sure. The thing that really bugs me a lot throughout this whole escapade, like I said, they've said they're not going to be filing charges. Justice Department will not be filing charges. Of course, that's our Justice Department. There are other ones out there, too. There are other countries. In fact, I heard it said today on a couple of different news reports that it probably would be smart for the people involved in this, the people in the Bush administration who were involved in this, not to travel far into foreign countries. They should probably vacation domestically. It's good to hear that, at least. That, yeah, you know what? Your ass might be wanted someplace, and it actually could happen. And then I believe that there might be a chance for justice. But the thing that really gets me is that one person did go to prison. One person has been punished. But he was not punished for the torture. He was punished for revealing the torture. His name is John Kiriakou. He was a CIA analyst and a case officer, former senior investigator for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, former counterterrorism consultant for ABC News, a blogger for the Huffington Post, and an author. And he is the first official within the U.S. government to confirm the use of waterboarding of al-Qaeda prisoners as an interrogation technique, which he described as torture. On October 22, 2012, he pled guilty to disclosing classified information about a fellow CIA officer that connected the covert operative to a specific operation, blah, blah, blah. Basically, he was sentenced to 30 months in prison in January of 2013. So that's the only person that's being punished who's connected to the torture that went on. A couple of quotes that I think are of interest. It's a clear fact that the CIA deployed officers who had histories of personal, ethical, and professional problems of a serious nature. These included histories of violence and abusive treatment of others and should have called into question their employment in a sensitive CIA covert action program. That is from the report. Another quote from the report, the CIA coordinated the release of classified information to the media, including inaccurate information concerning the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, in other words, the torture. Now, look at that carefully. The CIA coordinated the release of classified information to the media. The same thing this guy just got sent to prison for back in 2013. The CIA is doing on their own and throwing some misinformation in there as well so that we all get confused because we're dumb enough not to see through it. The CIA's Office of Public Affairs and senior CIA officials coordinated to share classified information on the CIA's detention and interrogation program to select members of the media to counter public criticism, shape public opinion, and avoid potential congressional action to restrict the CIA's detention and interrogation authorities and budget. These disclosures occurred when the program was a classified covert action program and before the CIA had briefed the full committee membership on the program. You'll see all kinds of revelations about how they evaded justice, how they broke the rules of the Geneva Conventions, and all kinds of other horrible violations. And the fact that they're not being held accountable for that is shameful. But again, it is a good thing that it's being released and talked about, and it'll go a long way towards preventing this from ever happening again, at least for now. All right, let's get into something quickly. Yeah, we have to do this quickly because there's just a lot of material tonight. It's the Dumbass of the Week Award, and it goes to Representative Peter King. Now, you know, here's the thing. I have trouble with this because I think Representative Peter King should be Dumbass of the Year, if not more than that. Is this the only time we can do this? Because he's going to win a lot of weeks, I think. The reason why my favorite congressman is Dumbass of the Week is for the things he's been saying about Eric Garner. And as you may know, Eric Garner, the grand jury, miraculously enough, last week came back with the exact same result as the grand jury in Ferguson the week before that. In other words, we're not going to, no crime here. It's murder. Homicide is what the coroner said, but not a crime, not a crime at all, because a cop did it. And again, you know, the numbers are staggering. Grand juries, when they try to listen to the evidence, I think 99.97% of the cases, they indict whoever the prosecutor tells them to indict, except when there's a cop involved. And then it goes down to 1%. But anyway, to Peter King, yes, he thanked the Staten Island grand jury for doing justice. He tweeted this. This is how we have to quote people these days, is through tweets. Thanks to SI grand jury for doing justice and not yielding to outside pressure. Decision must be respected. Compassion for the Garner family. That's pretty much all the compassion he's going to show, is a portion of a tweet. Not even a whole tweet, a portion of a tweet. But he went on in an interview. The police had no reason to know he was in serious condition. This is the attempt to blame the guy for his own death, even though he was telling the cops that he couldn't breathe. That's beside the point. You had a 350-pound person who was resisting arrest. The police were trying to bring him down as quickly as possible. If he had not had asthma and a heart condition and was so obese, almost definitely he would not have died. Well, at least now we know where the fault lies. All right? It's not the guy who put him in a chokehold. It's not the people that ignored him saying, "I can't breathe." It's not the people who waited for, 7 minutes to even give him first aid after he passed out. It's not their fault. It's his fault, because he had asthma, a heart condition. He was obese. Thank you, Peter King, for setting us straight on that. It's good to know. He went on, because he always does go on. He never shuts up, this guy. And I don't know why everybody always goes to him. I mean, he's, head of the Senate Armed Intelligence Committee? There's at least one word there that he should not be anywhere near. And it's the fact that he's talking about foreign countries when he doesn't even know what's going on in his own backyard. It's just, it's the ultimate in parody. It really is. People were saying that he said 7 times, "I can't breathe." But if you can't breathe, you can't talk. So police hear that all the time. Dumbass is not a strong enough word, is it? It's the only strong word I can really use on these airwaves. But wow, there's many words I want to use. So basically, how do you tell somebody you can't breathe then? In Peter King's world, you can't say it, because if you can say it, then obviously you can breathe. Is there a motion you can make? But, you know, if you're making the motion, that means that, well, you could be threatening a cop. That motion could be a threat and they'd have to kill you right there. So you can't do that. Telepathy. We have to start learning telepathy, because then Garner could have communicated to the cops, "Hello, I am actually in trouble. This is not a drill. Please release your arm from around my throat." I don't know. I have no idea what possible way this situation could have resolved itself in Peter King's little mind. He also continues, "In this case, a chokehold was not illegal. It is against department regulations, but as you look carefully, I don't think it was an intent to put him in a chokehold, because the officer does move the baton as he brings him down." A lot of analysis going on into how this guy moved, but the result is the same. Anyway, there's more. I could go on. I'm just going to get more and more frustrated reading what he says here. But wow. He earns it. He earns Dumbass of the Week, Dumbass of the Month, at least, I think. He's not the only one, obviously. There are a lot of people that are to say not sympathetic would be a vast understatement, but just clueless to the extent where you can't even reason with them. You know, it's not a question of simply disagreeing with somebody, because if you disagree with somebody, you can have an argument. But if you have these perceptions that you just cannot get past, and unfortunately many of our nation's policemen seem to have these same perceptions, i.e. black people are usually a threat, kids are actually adults, anything is a weapon, et cetera, you can't get past that. You can't be talked to. You can't be reasoned with. And of course, you know, there are a lot of people on the other side that are also completely unreasonable, and you can't really have a conversation with them, but they're not going around killing people. That's a difference. There actually was an action here on Long Island. It wasn't at Stony Brook, as far as I know. No one's told me about anything that happened here, but this happened in an unlikely place, the Sunrise Highway. Yes, right smack in the middle of the Sunrise Highway. I like where this is going. I like how protesters are just simply not letting up. They're not stopping. They blocked an Amtrak train yesterday in California. They've been stopping cars and highways every place. Last week, I was the day of the decision, I was coming back from Manhattan, and there were some demonstrations. It actually wasn't the biggest day of the demonstrations. That was the day after that. But I got into this massive, massive traffic holdup, and I was like, yes, finally, because I was looking for the demonstrations and not really finding very much. I was a little bit disappointed. But at last, finally, you know, being held up in my car for the better part of an hour, not moving because of civil unrest, that's something that would make the whole thing worthwhile. But unfortunately, it was just the approach to the Kosciuszko Bridge, which is always up to something, and they were fixing whatever it is they fixed last year, and that's why nobody was moving. But I was thinking in all that time, wouldn't this be nice if this was actually a result? This tactic gets attention. It also gets a bit of annoyance, but, you know, that's kind of the point, is to get on your radar. About 400 Long Islanders on Sunday demonstrated against what they call police brutality in a rally and die-in, in which some people lay down on the pavement of the busy Sunrise Highway. It's busy no matter where you are, but they happen to be in Amityville. They stopped traffic in both directions on the major artery. You know, I was following what was going on last night in Berkeley. They were doing the same thing. They were blocking a highway. And the police basically blocked them. They're on the highway, so you know the objective has been met. So the police are closing off the highway, but they're preventing the demonstrators from moving forward to get to the other side of the highway, which I guess is something that they don't want them to do, even though the highway is already blocked by the police standing there. And what these demonstrators did, and get this is really clever, they went to the other side of the highway and walked around the police and made it to the other side. Literally, the police only blocked one direction of the highway, not thinking that they could simply get around them by going on the other side. And that's exactly what they did. Later on at night, police were seen blocking both sides of the highway. So it's kind of scary because they're learning, and we might be dealing with more intelligent cops in the future. Anyway, so we had 400 people on the Sunrise Highway in the protest. Lasted for 4.5 minutes, which, of course, is a symbolic reference to the 4.5 hours that unarmed black teenager Michael Brown's body was left in the street in Ferguson. Jason Starr, director of the Nassau chapter of the NYCLU, New York Civil Liberties Union, was at the demonstration. He said, "We're going to die in because so many brothers and sisters are dying at the hands of police. Michael Brown was shot 6 times by Officer Darren Wilson." So what we are doing for 4.5 minutes is a die-in right here on Sunrise Highway and shut this ... down. The group repeated 11 times, "I can't breathe." For each of the times, that phrase was repeated by Eric Garner. 11 times he said, "I can't breathe." Yeah, and you know, Peter King's world, I guess he's ready to run a marathon. He could say it 11 times. What's wrong with this guy? In fact, that's probably a threat right there that he's so vocal. So anyway, this happened, Long Island, very proud. But then, of course, I read the story in Newsday, and I don't know why I clicked on the comments thing. At least you have to click on it now. Before, they popped up, and you were just inundated with all the hatred and racism and stupidity. Now you have to click on it. And I ask myself, why are you clicking on this when you know it's waiting for you? Let's just look at a few of the comments that that I saw just in that brief moment where I could stand it. This guy says, too bad I wasn't in my work truck, apparently saying that he would run them all over. Savage losers with nothing better to do than inconvenience the rest of us. I hope when you lay in the street, you get run over by a bus. Let's see. Of all the important issues that we have today, I'm shocked that this is the one that gets people all over the country to protest. Well, actually, you know, that's an interesting point. It's not filled with the usual venom and hatred. But you know what? It's you push people enough, eventually they will push back. And this is something that has happened so often, so repeatedly. There's so many cases. And if you don't believe that, you just have to do some research. You just have to look. And you'll see how incredible this is. And when that happens and when people are talking about it, that's when you get a reaction like this. So don't be surprised. This was a long time coming. I'm only surprised it took this long. Let's see, how much more of this can I stand? They just were mad. They forgot the local Social Security office was closed on Sunday and had a hissy fit. Yeah, because everybody there is on welfare and taking advantage of everything. Beware of those selling fake purses and DVDs. De Blasio and Cuomo are desperate for the tax. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but there's a lot of hatred for De Blasio, Cuomo, Obama, for their reactions of actually taking this seriously. I hope littering summonses were issued. That's an awful lot of garbage left in the street. This person says there must have been a 4.5-minute window of available parking at the mall while this was taking place. Okay, that's actually funny. There's something funny about that. This person reached the conclusion that Albany Avenue is in Amityville. Need we say more? Well, in your case, thank you for not saying any more, because that's the dumbest thing I've heard. Some of this is just really unsuitable for... I certainly understand that we must fight with the arbitrariness of the police, but why to interfere to the ordinary people who have a job? Which apparently is not a job that requires writing. But sometimes you have to. Imagine how much you're interfered with if you are involved in one of these tragic stories. This person says now they should go for a nice long march down a short pier. That's nice and original. Law-abiding citizens always support their police. It's you savages who have a problem with law and order. See, this is the thing. You might notice the word savages thrown in there. You might notice the word thug thrown in there. These are the new racist terms that are kind of a signal. So people that don't want to use the N-word and be labeled a racist, they can use these other words. And everybody's going to, you know, wink behind them and say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know those people, those ones that are always causing all the trouble. Yeah, here we go again. According to some more reliable newspapers, there is a hit on our NYPD by the Black Gorilla family. They spelled gorilla the different way, you know, like the insurrectionists, so that it wouldn't be flagged by the racist detectors. Hopefully, these brave men and women who put their life on the line every day are not killed by this vicious gang. Yeah, because these are vicious gangs, these mothers and children and everybody on the highways and in the streets, vicious gangs. Should have used a payloader to get them off the road. Okay, so there's literally hundreds of comments like this from all different people, you know, and that alone, if there was nothing else, the Newsday comment board, it's enough to tell you that there is a serious problem in this country regarding race, regarding justice, regarding the police and how Black people are viewed. You know, I've gotten into these arguments so many times with reasonable people who say, you know, can't help but notice that every time you go into a courtroom, most of the defendants are Black. You know, you go into a prison, most of the people in there are Black. I got to say something. You know, that means something. And yeah, it does mean something. It means that certain people are targeted a lot more than other people. And they're targeted because, well, they stand out, you know, person of color. Wow. Okay. We can grab that person. See if he's got any pot in his pocket. If he does, hey, you're going to Rikers. White guy, they tend to walk. They tend not to have the same penalty for the same crime. What does that do to your little image there of the justice system? You know, it's amazing how people reach these conclusions, but they're based on invalid facts. They're based on manipulation. Just like the CIA is manipulating the media, so too is the justice system, so too is the political system. It's really sad. It's really sad and disturbing, but it's heartening to see that people are actually doing something finally. Now, the feds came down hard on the Cleveland police. It's basically telling the world what a lot of people already knew in a report that was released on Thursday detailing a nearly two-year-old Justice Department investigation. It's interesting the timing of this, but this investigation has been going on for 2 years. They found that Cleveland police used guns, tasers, pepper spray, and their fists excessively, unnecessarily, or in retaliation. Officers have used excessive force on those who are mentally ill or in crisis. And now a federal court is going to keep tabs on the Cleveland police as part of a legal agreement going forward. Now, this investigation was launched years ago, before the tragic case of the kid being killed, the 12-year-old kid who the cop thought was 20, being killed instantly in a park. And, you know, you see the video of that, and it's disturbing enough for what it contains. But the fact that anybody can defend those actions of literally barreling your car almost directly into somebody and shooting them within 2 seconds, no matter what you tell somebody to do, there's going to be a little bit of a pause because the person is going to be in shock that you just almost ran over them with a car. And yet the police are saying they warned him 3 times. They told him 3 times to drop the gun, and he did not do that, so they shot him. Within 2 seconds, I just don't believe it. And I don't think a lot of people do. Yet there are so many people who are defending those actions. And in this case, the actions are not the fault of simply one person. Yeah, one cop killed the kid, but another cop made the boneheaded move of driving a car right up to the person that they were there to investigate, leaving absolutely no maneuverability, no flexibility, whatever. And that definitely added to it. And you have the dispatcher who failed to relay the fact that this was likely a fake gun that the kid was holding. Kind of important information. Yeah. Meanwhile, okay, here's some news of a different sort. You might not have heard of that. Communities around the nation protesting decisions not to charge officers who have injured or killed suspects. But in South Carolina, of all places, prosecutors have obtained indictments against 3 white officers for on-duty shootings of unarmed black men in the past 4 months. Now, it might seem unusual that officers would face charges in a quote-unquote law and order state like South Carolina, but a former prosecutor with some high-profile cases under his belt said officials are acutely aware that people think there is a good old boy network in the state and are extra careful to give cases involving police officers the highest level of scrutiny. Well, that's somewhat encouraging, isn't it? South Carolina. So, with that bit of good news, let's stop talking about this for a little bit. I'm going to get on the telephone here. Aren't those pleasant sounds, the sounds of our numbers being dialed? And we're going to call a familiar voice, hopefully.
Hello?
Hello, Kyle. This is Emmanuel.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. We're good here, the whole radio station and all the people listening. We're all pretty good, I think. We've been talking about torture and police shootings and things like that, and we needed to improve the mood, so we called you.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be thought of as a catalyst for a changing conversation. So can you hear me all right, though?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. You're out there in Seattle. And exciting news, we're going to the Chaos Congress in Germany in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be something.
Yeah, oh my goodness, yeah. Something we haven't done in a long while, it feels, and I know it's, gosh, a couple of years now.
and something we've never done in Hamburg, which is where it is now.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of changes there, just entirely different city, a lot of new projects that we haven't seen before, I'm sure. Again, the space, that's expanded and certainly changes the dynamic. So we're really, I know I'm quite excited to see that and catch up with some people. I know a lot of people made it out, and a lot of people from that part of the world definitely helped us.
Absolutely, with hope, yes.
Exactly.
Well, it'll definitely be fun to see them again and also to meet new people and see what the new digs are like. And for those who don't know, the Chaos Communication Congress takes place once a year. It's always on the same day. It's always on the 27th through the 30th of December, right between Christmas and New Year's. It's a great way to spend the holidays if you don't want to do it in a traditional way back home. And, it's something that we used to make an annual tradition of, but the last couple of years haven't, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Indeed.
I should tell you that I don't know what else we're doing. We haven't made other plans for visiting other places or people or things like that. And the way we travel, it's kind of it's unique. People always ask us, are you completely crazy? You haven't made all your plans. People plan their train trips months in advance, let alone their plane trips. We're very flexible. We can basically just decide on a whim, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go to this country, this city, visit this person. And that just adds so much to it. So that's part of the magic, right?
I really appreciate that about being flexible, and it's different, but certainly worthwhile. And if anybody out there as listeners wants to tell us something about where they are or has an idea for an interesting place to visit that maybe if they followed some of our travels in the past, they know we haven't been there or we've talked about going there. And maybe there's something in particular you want to point out. That would be really inspiring for us as we make those plans.
Yes, definitely. And I should point out to you, Kyle, I haven't had a chance to actually talk to you about this. So I guess I'll talk to you on the air about it. But I did book our flights over there. And I got a really, really good deal, too. But the thing is, for the round trip part, for some reason, when you looked at what they were offering, All the affordable ones were Aeroflot, okay? And Aeroflot, of course, being the Russian carrier. And I don't really have a problem with that. You know, there's rumors that they still have smoking flights. I don't know. I don't really care. But all the flights, you'd have to make a stopover in Moscow. And that just didn't seem right. You know, if we're going to stop over in Moscow, we damn well better get out in Moscow as well, not just sit on a plane. Plus, it adds a bunch of hours. One flight was like 33 hours from point to point. So it made sense to just do the one way at the really super cheap rate rather than an equivalent rate that involves almost traversing the globe and spending a lot of time on a plane. And we will just book our return flight whenever we damn well feel like it. How about that?
Good to hear. Wow, interesting. Actually, I remember working at an airport where Aeroflot was one of our flights, and they indeed had like the last 20 rows dedicated for smoking and actually quite a bit of drinking too.
Well, I think all rows are dedicated to drinking, but wow, how did that? I mean, I remember when trains used to be segregated by just a little. A piece of plastic that didn't even connect to the ground. It was just like sort of a theoretical barrier, and one side was smoking, one side was not. These are on European trains. And on Long Island, you had the smoking car, which is why there was such a high turnover rate of conductors. But what kind of barrier does just the last few rows of an airplane give you if you don't want to smoke? You know, it's...
Yeah, that wasn't a barrier.
No, not at all.
So I think it's just maybe where the ventilation is, I would hope, but who really knows?
Yeah. Is it still a crime to even smoke in the bathroom then? Like, you know, they always tell you that, but if it's a smoking flight, then I guess why not smoke in the bathroom too?
That's something worth investigating. I don't, I don't know if they had the same smoke detector policy that the FAA has, because it's international, it's not American.
That's true. The FAA has no jurisdiction.
I don't think they do.
No, they couldn't. It's our federal agency. But I love how whenever you get on a plane in this country, they'd say this is a non-smoking flight, as if there are any smoking flights there. And they still have those little things in the armrests that look like ashtrays, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the interiors, it is sort of weirdly redundant. I don't know if that's the way you would say it, but it doesn't make much sense. They have to reiterate something that is outlawed
right
entirely. It's as if they've at some point held out for the opportunity to switch it back, or maybe private flights. Maybe private flights are smoking, and that announcement's different on
okay.
some flights.
So maybe some of the people on that plane get on private planes, and they're not used to these restrictions.
Right. It's such a foreign world to them.
Interesting.
Not be able to puff what they want.
Well, it's incredible to me to see how the restrictions have gotten more and more all-encompassing. Like, you can't even smoke in an airport now. You have to be outside. When you're taking a train, you can't even smoke on the platform anymore. You know, people used to smoke between cars. And, yeah, I can sort of see the point of people who really are against all the regulations. But this is one I'm happy about because it's so disgusting and so pervasive. And I'm just glad to have it be a part of our past and not our present.
Yeah, and it really was.
Yeah, it certainly was, definitely. I remember, you know, people here in this radio station used to smoke. You know, in the radio station, people at BAI, everybody smoked there. In class, when I went to school, in class, people were smoking. You know, things that we would not be able to conceive of today. It wasn't that long ago, but it was a reality of our lives. And I just wonder, you know, going down the road into the future, what we might be doing now that will be completely off limits in the future.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just talking to someone, and we were discussing the distinction because we were having some snacks and we were laughing about the silly things people were eating, like certain cookies with a frosting filling and various sports drinks of different artificial colors.
Uh-huh.
And how we're conditioned to just sort of accept these things, even though they're completely produced, highly processed, and certainly not natural. And, of course, conversations about meat products and diets and stuff.
Is there a freight train going by?
Yeah. So, this is one of our 6 weekly mile-long garbage trains.
Can you just hold the phone out the window for a second? I'd like to hear this.
Okay, the engine already went by, but this is just all the cars. There's some traffic and stuff, too. Here you go.
Wow.
Just lumbering along here.
Got traffic, you got freight trains, you got airplanes, incredible. And I dig it. I mean, when I'm out there, it's really kind of a symphony of sound.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Of course, sunsets very early, and the clouds are sort of moving quickly. You can see, like, the silvery blue sky off in the distance.
Uh-huh.
And sort of looming gray patchiness and stuff. So it's an interesting change, I guess. We're in between. It's not raining, though.
Well, it's been raining here. It's been we had one of these nor'easters.
Oh, okay.
You know, why is it that nor'easter gets the apostrophe and all that? It's not just one word. They
nor'easter.
Yeah, I people would pronounce it that way, I guess. If
a nor'easter.
But how does a word apply to get like the extra little apostrophe there to make it pronounced properly? You know, I've wondered about that.
It's a quandary.
It's
I don't know who sends down these edicts or approves them or anything. It's probably a social construction, I would say.
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. Hey, Kyle, I wanted to mention one thing, though,
before
I forgot. You remember back in August, you randomly picked a football team, right? That in the FA Cup in...
Nuttington Griff,
yes. Well, they had the second round proper this last weekend. And what that means is that's the round where people... The second round where people actually pay attention to this. They had something like six rounds before that that not many were paying attention to. But through the team that you originally picked are following the teams that would defeat the next team, et cetera, et cetera. We wound up with a seventh level team known as, I forgot their name, Blythe Spartans, is that it? Yes. And they were playing a team called Hartlepool. I actually was able to see this one on television because it was broadcast in the United States. Wouldn't you know it, Blythe Spartans did a giant killing, and they actually advanced to the third round. They beat Hartlepool. They're in all the headlines. It was broadcast everywhere. And just coincidentally, it happened to be the team we were following because of all the teams that sprouted from the one that you picked. And so now, going into the third round proper, which I think there's only 64 teams left now, all of the major league teams are entering at this stage. 20 teams are left out of all the other games. And 44 teams are coming in from the two top leagues. But of those 20, the one that is furthest down is the one we were following, Blythe Spartans. And we hope when they play Birmingham City, oh, my God, in January sometime, that they actually survive that. But, wow, that's the fun of this competition, is that small teams can wind up playing really, really big teams.
Yeah, and it's... an amazing experience for them, because this is like club play, and really an amazing opportunity to get on, I guess, the world football stage, because this is when it starts becoming pretty decisive, right? I mean,
yeah, these are guys that have full-time jobs, you know, they work 9 to 5 and they play football maybe in the evening and on the weekends. And here they are playing professionals whose career it is to play this game.
Right.
And they're actually finding themselves in these arenas that they never thought they could actually be on the field. So that's the magic of it. That's why we started this in August. And it's kind of fun to see that the team that we wound up following turned out to be the giant killer. So that just, I'm thrilled by that. So good choice. Good choice with Nuttington Griff. That was, that led us here.
Wow. I'm gonna have to process that. I had no idea.
Well, I'll send you a chart later. But if you basically go back to August, look at Nuttington Griff, look at the team that beat them, look at the team that beat that team, et cetera, et cetera. You bring us to where we are right now.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then there was Orion. You want to tell us about Orion?
No, thanks for the update. And I'm sorry, the riot? What?
No, not the riot. No. We want to think positive now. Orion, reaching for the stars.
Oh! I thought you said riots, and I mean there are many of those, and I'm sure we could talk about that for a great length of time.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, Orion launched, and I was talking to a friend about it, asking if they'd been following it at all and whatnot. But this is an amazing vehicle, very much of the configuration and form factor that we used during the Apollo space era, where we were actually going places. So it's really an astonishing achievement and quite a vehicle. I didn't watch it live, but I
did. At 7 in the morning, I watched it go up. It was postponed one day, and then it went up the day after. And this capsule, this vehicle, is designed to go to Mars.
Yeah, that's the plan, and its design is to be a long haul vehicle, so we can even do manned missions.
Yeah, and presumably come back too. Unlike those poor suckers in the reality show that are going to stay there.
Right. And it's really interesting, really kicking up. I mean, when you consider private space as well, the incredible challenges and developments and interest, I think that I don't see. I mean, the amount of private space growing up just wasn't like this, and so it's pretty exciting to see both do really and working really well together, and especially like the European Space Agency.
Yes.
And just the incredible contributions, like the Canada arm, you know, funny stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That we've done, that's just amazing and really an astonishing technical feat.
It's so inspirational just to
Unity.
See it go up and to see it do all the things it's supposed to do, and also to see the reaction back in ground control, all the scientists that and professors and doctors that are behind all of this. It's just it makes you realize there are so many other things to reach for, and to the mysteries out there, and space being one of them. And this is just, you know, we're talking about our next door neighbor. We're talking about maybe landing people on an asteroid, maybe landing people on Mars. is there a spaceship coming to you now?
Sorry, there's some more activity out here.
Yeah, I'll say. Wow. So yeah, Orion. That it was only up for about 3.5 hours. It circled the Earth twice and it landed in the Pacific Ocean. It might not sound like much, but when you're dealing with the first such capsule since the 1970s, literally, I don't know what we've been doing to wait this long. It's big.
Just kind of catching up with the sentiment, and would add just the importance of common humanity. When we do look from like vantage, like a space station, or even when we're looking out as a species, right? It's pretty profound and should be unifying impact on us, right? Like really bring us together, and that's I think the really warm, heartwarming thing about working together in collaborations and seeing what we learn about where we are and what we are continue.
Yeah. It's the thing. It picks up my mood a lot when I see something like that, as opposed to just all the strife and conflict that we hear about, which we should hear about, but we also have to think beyond our petty little battles and look at the bigger picture, look at the future, because like it or not, this is the future. Going out there, it's not there for nothing. You know, it's infinity. It's outer space. It's there taunting us. So we damn well better do something and not just keep gazing at the stars. We have to figure them out and visit them somehow and, you know, make all our dreams happen one way or another.
Wow. Yeah, indeed.
And protect ourselves against the invading forces from other planets, which are no doubt going to come someday.
Yeah. At least have an intelligent conversation. And as intelligent a way we can muster.
Yes. Hey, Kyle, we're in the last minute, so...
Are we?
Say something profound. And.
Oh, well, you know... I'm struck with. I could go on and on, but there's a lot of things that were. I was having some trouble with a machine, you know, some software, free software, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Just all kinds of things breaking. You know, you gotta really nurse things back to working, especially when you've been away. And I've been really wrestling in my life, but also helping other people. And I think I would just say that's one of my favorite things about this season. And I just would remind everyone that giving isn't necessarily a gift, like a tangible thing, like just giving your listening, giving your time, maybe lifting something for somebody because they're maybe injured or maybe they can't. That's important giving too, and it matters.
You know what? Your conversation now is a gift as well, and I want to thank you for that, because it definitely lifts my spirits up, and I think it lifts up a lot of spirits to hear your perspective and your unique views and things like that.
Anytime. And I'm sorry I didn't have any really big jets for you, but...
Well, it's okay. I mean, you live by an airport, and you're not in charge of the schedule, so...
Coming, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I believe that they're around, and... All right. Hey, Kyle, we'll see you here in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some adventures. And, of course, we'll be airing shows from our last voyages, I think, to Spain and Portugal. We have those recordings I have to track down. And,
truly. I think we're going to get all caught up and and be off in an incredible new direction.
Yes, and then we'll have to catch up again after that.
Why not?
All right. Well, we'll speak later, Kyle.
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. We are going to go out. You know, it's hard to find a good song about torture, but it felt like the right thing to do. And we have to end tonight on a rather short piece about torture from our friends over at Negative Land. I think that's a pretty appropriate way to leave. OTW@2600.com is the email address for Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Stay tuned for Finn. Have a good night.
And remember, sound was used for centuries as a method of torture. Place someone's head inside of a bell and ring it. And eventually, they'll go insane. And eventually, they'll go insane. They'll go insane. They'll go insane. And eventually,